Welcome to the Broski Dittles Podcast, the best podcast in all of the land. It's your boy Kiko Flo, Kiko Cervantes, the kid with the accent on the other side of the screen. It's Chef Maurice, the other guy with the accent and the shiny hat. This is a Christmas edition for you guys coming through. You're probably seeing this around Christmas day or night. And hopefully this is the gift that you've been waiting for.
Damn, maybe we should send this podcast, open it. I don't know, post it. That's the word I was looking for. On the 25th.
Okay, like as a little Christmas.
Or maybe we record another one for Christmas. I don't know.
We'll see. But in any case, this might be something that's coming out on Christmas Day as a little gift.
What I'm trying to say is like maybe we get an episode out on that day.
Okay. Like, we'll talk to the producers. You know, this is all, we have a lot of people, MSNBC, the Netflix people, the producers, everybody's involved in this podcast. So it's, we got to check with the executives.
It's the gift to the world that nobody wanted.
Yeah. Nevertheless, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Right.
I think that's what they call STDs. Why you took off the lights?
Oh, I thought it was going to be messy for the video.
No, we like it. Talking about Messi, did you see that Messi went to India?
What the fuck?
And people went crazy because they couldn't see him. They destroyed the stadium.
$100 tickets? $130?
Just to see Messi walk around, and they all got pissed off.
Did you see the video of the guy kicking the ball with him?
No.
Please tell me you saw it. No. I'm guessing somebody either won a contest or paid a lot of money to appear in this. And he was kicking the ball around with Messi. And it was messy. I'm going to try to look for the video.
See if you can find it. You know, Christmas.
It was a messy, messy video.
It's crazy because you see this, I don't know. I guess people are super impressed or they just love the whole Messi situation. And to me, I'm just like, okay, I get it. He's great. But some people just, they're too fanboyed out, you know? They got to chill a little bit. But anyways, Christmas, one of my favorite times of the year. Again, I'm not religious, but I just love the feeling of Christmas. I know it's a holiday made by the companies, but to me, it just brings me joy. It reminds me of better times, okay? So, you know, we wanted to have a little bit of a nice outfit for you guys today. Yeah, make it a little festive, you know? Eggnog vibes, you know, going out to take out the trash with your cousin vibe.
What's eggnog?
Eggnog
I've
is
never
like,
had it.
I mean, the consistency is kind of like Bailey's, right?
Okay.
Cream liquor, but it's actually made with eggs. So I don't know. I know about it, but I might have tasted it, but it's not a thing that I seek. I don't search for it.
Does it have alcohol?
Yeah, it has alcohol.
Oh. I've seen it. They sell it at like a Publix.
You might like it
in
because
the milk stand.
You told me that recently you got drunk on like ponche crema, which is like cream liqueur. Cream punch. Is that what it's called or not?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's kind of like Bailey's.
It's kind of like Bailey's.
To me, anything dairy that has dairy in it, you might have one little shot, but if you're going to get drunk on it, you're going to get stomach ache or some shit.
That's what happened to me. The next day, I was shitting for hours. Like, I woke up and straight to the toilet.
Yeah, it's not a good thing to drink a lot of, you know?
I think when that happened to me, I think I drank a whole bottle by myself.
Yeah, I don't think that's meant for that. The problem with liquor sometimes is that you start feeling great. And this is the thing that happens with me. These days, I don't always feel great when I drink. So when I do, I continue, you know? It's like when the little fairy hits you, you know? You know what I'm talking about? When you're feeling really nice and the fairy's talking to you, you're just in the vibe and you just want to continue it. You know what I mean? You don't want to stop it. This was happening to me last night. I was having quite a few drinks. Not a lot. I was having like 3-4 beers and I just started getting that vibe where you start putting music, you know, live concerts, and you put the headphones loud. Mm. My girlfriend went to sleep and I was just alone in the night.
But it's good. Those moments, we need those moments.
Right?
We need more of those moments.
True.
Bro, I'm looking at the whole video to see to find the messy thing. It was wild.
Bro, they destroyed
Throwing
the fucking
chair.
field.
The whole stadium was in shits.
I'll be honest with you. I like Indians. I love Indian food. But bro, what's up with some Indians? You know what I mean? And the other thing is, you barely see any women. It's all men.
For that part of the world, it's a very men thing to do, I guess.
It's like dominated by men. Women have to stay home cooking, which I don't mind. So, you know, there's some things that we could use from that culture, right? You know, teach women where to stay, right? Like they know their place.
God damn.
God damn, stay in the kitchen, god damn it.
The players were asking for his autograph.
Like Indian
Messi.
players?
But I don't think they were like professional because it looks like beer bellies on those motherfuckers.
Well, their league is a little bit unorthodox. It's different.
They do a lot of things with their feet, apparently.
Yeah, they eat with their feet, I think too. I wanted to talk to you about a topic that we were speaking about in the last weeks, especially because it was relevant with the fact that you've had a job now, or your new job, not that you never worked in the past, but you had a job now for like maybe a month or a little bit longer, maybe.
A month, yeah.
Yeah. And in this new job, well, you're doing very well. You're the sous chef. Although my friend told me that you're actually a different thing because a sous chef that preps food is called a little different. My friend Mitch told me he's a chef too, as apparently, allegedly.
Well,
What's it called?
they call me a junior sous chef.
Right, but is there another word for the guy that does the prepping?
Prep cook.
Nah, I gotta fuck. It'll come to me. But anyways, but you're doing well in this job. But you are seeing that you told me the other day something that resonated with me. You said, "Look, in this job, I do everything I have to do, and it's not really a hectic job. I do everything on time, and then at the end, I'm just chilling a lot of the time. It's cool." And even though part of me makes me want to feel like, hey, I should be striving for more. I should be like looking to do more. I'm overqualified for this job. Part of you also said, like, damn, I kind of enjoy the not having this crazy pressure on top of me and not having my life and my brain be drained by the job. And I was telling you that social media and also companies and corporate world want you to always feel like you gotta grind till you die, right? And I respect the grind when the project is yours, right? It's your little baby, it's your business, it's your little project, your little, you know, podcast, whatever it is you do, your YouTube channel, whatever is your project. But when you're working for others, I believe you should work for what you're paid for, right? I'm being paid to do a job. You should do the job decently because you're being paid for it. You should have ethics and respect the fact that you're being provided money for what you're doing. But this whole thing that I see a lot in the recent years of like, oh, you gotta overachieve, you gotta do more. It's like, wait, why? Why should I do more than what I'm being paid for, right? I'm an employee. And I think I want to hear other people's suggestions and opinions on this because, you know, some people might think like, hey, I do like to overachieve and do 130%. And I think there's certain places where that is justified. Again, if you have your own business, but also if you're in a corporate ladder where it makes sense to do so. Like, let's say you're like you're really good at corporate and you're actually in a company that provides the roadmap for you to become better at what you do, gain positions, and actually do something beautiful for the company. But I think those examples are rarer. And what you see the most is these companies wanting to squeeze everyone and having people think that, you know, like in the past job that I had, I remember we would have these quarterly meetings and they're like, okay, what are your projects aside from your daily job that you want to do to improve the company? And I'm like, what do you mean extra projects? Like, my plan for the quarter is to do what I already do and do it well at 100%. Why the fuck should I have extra projects for you? Like, am I the owner of the company? Like, and I just never got it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm underachiever. I don't know. But you told me this about your job and it resonated with me. So how did you look at it in from the chef perspective in the kitchen?
I don't know, because I don't want to. It's not a point of like talking shit about the
No, talk
place,
shit.
It's not about that because I don't feel like I'm better than anyone. I just have the experience and I do more because I don't know. Maybe I don't know why I do more. I don't know why I do more than I have to. Is it because maybe I want to go home early?
All right, but give a little bit of context because I don't think people fully understand where you're coming from.
So,
right, because I'm talking about overachieving is bad, but give a little context of what it is that you do and what it is you think you do better than others and where is it that you feel that you can chill more but you don't feel bad about it, or maybe you do.
In this position that I have, it's more of like teaching, right? The people that I have under me are new in the system. Also, it's a new restaurant, so I have to teach them what I've been taught in like a week. So I was taught for like a week and a half, like the recipes and how to do them. And then in a week and a half, after that, I had to like show everyone how to do them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still learning. Like I'm still in the process of like things are changing. So it's more detail into what you're doing. So that you have to instill it in the people that you're working with. And you got to know these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not everybody feels the same about the job. You know, some people are more like, I don't want to be here, but I'm here. And then other people want to learn at their own pace and be slower at it. But I let them kind of take their time on their task so they get better at it. Like, all right, you're taking more time because you're being more precise. So I'll let you take your time. But that means that next time you're going to get better. And like, instead of taking an hour, you're going to take 45 minutes. And you're going to keep cutting time from that. So right now it's like more managing the people. And I'm taking more tasks myself that I know it'll take me longer to explain to them than I'm just doing it by myself. In some part, it's not the way to think. You know, I want to teach everyone what I'm doing so I don't always have to do it. And then they believe that it's my job to do it all the time. I've shown you pictures. Like one day, I think I sent you like 20 pictures of like my whole day. Like how I do everything that I need to do, and then I do it efficiently. So that's where I'm like more experienced. But then you hear some of the stories of the other guys, like, oh, I've been in a kitchen for, you know, doing prep work for 7 years, but still lacking like in time or, you know, cleanliness or attention to detail. The other day I asked for a recipe to be done 2 times. So that means, you know, I give you the amounts, and then you're just going to multiply that by 2. And I know how much that yields. Let's say it's going to end up being 4 quarts of sauce. I already know that. That 2 times recipe is going to yield that. All of a sudden, this guy makes a recipe and he yields like 10 quarts. After I had already told him, just do it 2 times.
Right, we'll multiply it twice. Hard.
And also, I think we talked about it before. I've learned like math. Just so I can explain like percentages to them. It's not like I'm learning it like sitting down. It's just I'm learning it at the moment as I'm like, ah, so this is how I can do this easily with percentages and make it easier for myself to get recipes to be more precise. I know they existed and I know it's a thing in the kitchen world. Doing percentages, but I had never used it.
Right, and you're not like specifically great with math, but you've had to start using it more now so right. that you can actually explain it to the people under you. I mean, how do you correlate this? Because maybe I presented this wrong, and I think we're not loyal.
Maybe what I'm trying to get is like, look at everything I have done throughout my day, like they're squeezing the shit out of me. So when I told you about it, when we talked about it, it was like, damn, I feel like I'm too good for this moment right now. Like this position that I'm at where maybe the prep list for the day is short and I have to manage it between basically 3 people, you know, 2 of the cooks and myself. and then be efficient, be clean, and also, you know, do more than I'm told to, just so I myself can get ahead and not be stressed for the next day. So are they squeezing the most of me? Probably. Maybe the amount of money I'm paid for what I'm doing, it should be more. But I think every job has that. You know, an office job is going to, somebody who works at an office desk may feel the same. Like, I'm doing more and I should be paid more. And that's always going to happen.
Okay, but maybe I saw this wrong, because I thought what you were telling me when we were speaking off camera throughout the week, you were saying like, man, in this job, I feel like I have some free time and I'm not super pressured. And I feel like, is that good? Should I have that time? And I told you, oh, I think that's good. I think that you shouldn't always have to be in a job where you feel like you're overstressed. So am I getting it wrong? Did I understood incorrectly? Or
no, I think you're completely right. My schedule is basically until 4 p.m. But I've been getting out of work early because I'm overworking myself the first 4 hours that I'm in the job. Maybe my mind has to change where I'm like, you know what? Let me stretch this out until at least 2 p.m. So I'm doing my hours. You know, ideally, I want to stay until 4, but, you know, until 2. But at the same time, I want to be seen as productive. Slow or less productive. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, how come you were doing this in 2 hours and now you're taking 4 hours? Like, there's new dishes that are going to come. And there's new pastry dishes that are going to come. So I have to do them, basically. Right now, I'm doing churros, which I think I've shown you the pictures.
Churros, originally created in Mexico, supposedly, but apparently they're from Spain. So I don't know.
So I'm doing that. And it's basically, I haven't done the dough for the churros since I was in culinary school. So it's been a while. And now I'm doing it and I'm getting better at it. And I'm very excited. And I want to make churros at home.
Like, do you think you could get like a franchise started for churros?
No, I think there's already one, and it kind of, it's like over the top now.
Yeah. No, but one that's a little bit more close to the basics, to the origins.
Like the ones in Spain.
Yeah, like the ones in Spain.
But that one is just like getting bigger and bigger, right? They're going to end up buying the whole block.
You mean the one in Miami?
No, the one in Spain.
Oh, right. Well,
they're going to end up buying the whole fucking block.
Yeah, for people who don't know, in Spain, in Madrid, the most famous one is called San Ginés. They're not paying us for this. but they already have like 3 blocks bought because they just keep growing. Although I think a lot of their fame, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're great. But churros is not like, you know, it's not rocket science, right?
it's dough, yeah.
A little bit of salt, and I don't know what else. You know, whatever it is.
It's just a technique of it. It's different. Yeah. But
yeah, but I don't think, I mean, I think you can make great churros and you don't have to, but it's just, you know, like it happens everywhere, right? Like when I went to Portugal, there was this place that had these bifanas, which are like, oh, these are the best bifanas. And it's a huge line for them. And then I found another place. I don't know how to compare them because I didn't go to the famous one, but this place had amazing bifanas and they were cheaper and I didn't have to make a line. So I think a lot of times the tourist end up making the place more famous than it should be.
Well, let's see. Let's see if my churros make, you know, become famous in this restaurant.
I love your churro. I don't know.
The other day I was teaching the cooks how to do churros and it didn't go as planned.
Why?
You know, people was mad. Not me. People were mad that, you know, it wasn't coming out great. And I needed to scrape it away. Like, not throwing it out, just taking it out of the paper where we put it, taking it out and then start it all over again because it comes out like shit. And then I'm like, you know what? I'll freeze them. And then when I put them away, I'll just throw out the shitty looking ones too. so they don't feel like defeated that the churros are not coming out.
Right. You don't want to throw them away in front of them so they don't feel like, oh, my churros are bad.
Right. And it happens, right? We have to make tortillas from scratch. So it already happens where they're very frustrated about it because they're not, it's not coming out how it, we want it. And then I have to throw them away.
Now, if they're frustrated about it, it would lead me to believe that at least they're trying to make them good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want to think that too. Okay. But it's also because it's just going to double their work. You know, I'm throwing them away because they're shitty, and then you have to do more to meet the threshold that we have.
I see. Oh, so it's not that they're disappointed that they didn't do the art. It's more like, fuck, I gotta do it again.
It could be both. It could be both, okay. For sure. Okay. But I do think that I do a lot, you know. I do put in the time and the work. I want to be better. I still make mistakes. So, like, there they... the cooks did recipes, and maybe I wasn't like thorough enough, like going back and checking up on them, because I'm like, they have already made this recipes 3 times already. Let me just give them the benefit of the chance to do them on themselves and see how it comes out. Apparently the one fucking time they fuck up, boss sees it and I'm in the shit.
Right. Cause you look like you didn't teach them right. Right. Is this the first job where you're having to do a lot more managerial activities?
Well, no, because other sous chef positions require that to be as well managerial. But this one, I think it's different because the prep aspect of it, you can be more, you have to be more like into on it, point. Like looking into it. Right. And the other ones were different for sure.
The other positions that you had as a sous chef. Yeah. Now, there's a difference between other sous chef positions that you've had where you've been more in the active execution part of it when the people come in to eat. Here, you're doing more of the prep work. So is it the case that you're not really there when the clients come to eat?
It is true.
Okay, so you're doing more of like the back office work in comparison to like if you want to compare it to an office. What's your experience with this? Do you like being... because, you know, like... for musicians, right? The bass player is one that is underappreciated, but if the bass player wasn't there, something would be wrong, right? Something would be missing. It's sort of like the bass is underappreciated, but it's worth more than people might think. And I kind of see like the prep chef being one that you don't see there when the action is happening, but if he does things bad, you're going to notice, and if he does things good, people might not notice, but you guys are like sort of the MVP in disguise, in the shadows. Is that how you see it?
Well, I've been checking out Instagram. You see what people post about the restaurant. And a lot of the things I see, it's like, oh, I made that. Oh, I did that. Oh, you know, the cook did it. And I was there when, you know, we tried and it was good. I don't know. I that's how I see it. Like, the chefs still do their thing and they still need to cook it. So there's more work into it. But the things that I see that I did myself, I'm like, I'm taking pride on that.
Right. Because I guess the chef that executes the recipe, they look like the artist. But then behind the scenes, there's a prep chef that is making sure that all that produce is put in a way that when the chef grabs it and executes it for the final dish, it's a lot easier for them. And it's like, I guess it takes a team, right, to make the whole thing work. Well, but it's definitely a different role that you haven't been in the past as much, right? I mean, as a chef, you're always prepping regardless. But being the prep chef, you're a lot more in behind the scenes than you've been in the past.
And I'll be honest, I don't mind it at all. Like, maybe this is what I've always wanted. Like, this is maybe my dream job right now.
Okay, because you don't have to deal with clients there.
Right. There's a lot of pressure to be on the line. Because, I'll portion this and I'll do this sauce for you and have it ready. But you still have to come in the line and do it work. And that's a pressure. You don't want to burn the steak. You don't want to burn the fish. You don't want to burn the sauce. You know, you don't want to keep fucking up. But anyways, there's a lot of pressure on that. So now I'm like taking a step back. I'm still getting paid. I get paid by hours. So, you know, ideally I do want to be there until 4. But if I leave at 12, I'll be happy that I fucking crushed a whole list me and the two cooks, we crush that shit, and then I get to go home early.
Right. Going back to the beginning of the podcast, maybe this is the part where you say maybe this is not as this is not the same pressure that I've had in other positions where you're executing the dishes in real time. Here it's more like you can do it in your own time, get everything prepped, and then you leave, and then the other people are the ones that execute it when the actual clients are there, when the pressure is hot.
Right, but you still have to perform. I need to still have my shit ready for
again,
them
you're
use.
The MVP in the shadows. We get that.
No.
But you don't have to do it with the pressure of the clients, of the whole thing happening in real time.
You know, having an open kitchen is an added pressure.
Oh, it's an open kitchen.
Yeah. You learn to tune it out. You learn to like zone it out. But it is added pressure because sometimes you are like, damn, I can't wipe this and I need to wipe, you know, I need to wipe the plate, but I can't wipe it with my fucking dirty ass towel. So, you know, and you don't want to do shit that people are going to see.
Right. You got to be a little bit extra careful. Not that you're not clean behind the scenes in a closed kitchen, but when it's open, you got to do it extra good.
You try to be tidy and clean. That's why I have like napkins on my station when I work the line. So I'm not using my warm towel. I'm not dirty. I'm just very disorganized. Sometimes I have too much shit that I don't need on my station. And I spread out a lot. Because the good thing about working in the morning by basically myself and the two other cooks is that each of us have their own space. Like, you're not rubbing elbows with anyone else. Mm. And I have a big-ass space, so I spread out a lot. But that tells me that I'm doing a lot. I can multitask a lot. Mm. I can have a couple sauces going and, you know, do knife work. So I can spread myself, not be in someone else's space, and then do more.
Would you consider yourself at times to be the Edward Scissorhands of the kitchen? Do you even get the reference?
No, I don't, but I'm...
No, you get the reference. You know the movie. Johnny Depp.
I know the movie.
Winona Ryder. Nice movie.
She stole something, right?
She stole... She Winona Ryder, she likes to go and shoplift. Weird thing to be addicted to when you're right. Fucking rich, right?
That has a name. I know in Spanish is mitómano, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know in English.
Yeah, like you're addicted to stealing.
To stealing, yeah. Well, I want to show pictures of what I do, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please do. Chef Maurice is going to show us. He's shown me already.
It sounds like a school presentation.
If you want, you can show them in the order of like how it starts, well, you know, evolving, and then the end result.
I think the pictures that I'm going to show is like one day work, or not a day work, like a couple hours work.
Okay.
I'll kind of explain what I'm doing.
For the people listening, please, and watching, please leave nice comments about this, because this is really going to encourage Chef Maurice in his craft. And you might not think it's that much, but it's honest work, and he actually appreciates if you can, you know, be nice about it and give you know, nice comments about it. It's Christmas, you know, it'd be like a little gift for him. But also, if you want to hire Chef Maurice, he has good prices for private events. So this is how he weights the cocorino.
You see, so I'm basically just doing one recipe there.
Okay.
And it's just, I don't know. Does it sound like I'm sucking on my own dick?
No, you're not.
By showing all these pictures?
No, come on. This is perfect. Like, it's actually beautiful to see your work. And I think a lot of people that listen to us, they know you're Chef Maurice. They know you have all these acolytes. They know you have all these patents on food. But they also want to see it. Like, okay, show me the money.
So also, I'll show you my knives, because I use different knives in everything I do.
Yeah, again, Edward Scissorhands.
So right now I'm just like weighing out some onions. Basically, I don't know. I think it was like black beans, cooking black beans.
Okay.
So I have like a recipe for it. And then you always ask me about knives. Like this, you can do with a bigger knife. I just decided to do a smaller one because I felt lazy to take my bigger knife out.
Okay.
Also, it's big. I'm just cutting like a small dice or a medium dice.
Would you say sometimes people put too much emphasis on it being big, but really what you need is for it to be useful?
You need it to be useful.
For all the short kings out there, size is not always, you know, the determining factor. Sometimes the attitude is what takes you to the next place.
Size doesn't matter. Tell that to your girlfriend.
She knows.
And then she knows. She sees it.
If it mattered, she wouldn't be with me.
What do you see there?
So I see the onions that you're cutting, and then I see garlic on the top left. And I see a cutting device. Is that what is called a mandolin?
That is a mandolin, yes.
Very dangerous.
Please be very, very careful. I've seen injuries. I've had injuries. Damn, not good.
And that shit will take off. That shit will take a fucking slice of your hand like it's not tomorrow.
Now that I look at this, I don't know why it's not changing the pictures. Do you know why it's not changing the pictures?
That is weird.
Because it's right now it's like just screen sharing the same picture.
Maybe you have to click on share screen rather than the picture.
Share sound. Oh, entire screen. Okay.
Maybe this should fix it.
Okay. Yeah. So you're seeing this. You're seeing the jalapenos. Jalapenos. Oh, shit.
This is the jalapenos? This looks more like peppers.
Well, jalapenos peppers.
Oh, okay. These are big jalapenos.
Jalapenos. No, actually, those were small. I've seen bigger.
Damn. If you know what I mean. Again, size doesn't always matter, but sometimes it does. I mean, look at that knife, right? I mean, am I right?
Well, as you see now, I took out the big boy.
You took the big boy out. This is the big guy. Big guy.
The dicing the jalapenos.
This is the Misono knife. Is this the one from like Sweden or Germany?
Sweden, yes.
Sweden. Okay. Swedish knives. Yeah. For people that don't know, Sweden is good with the knife. The brand is Misono. They don't sponsor us yet, but, you know. Big guy.
Oh, shit. I jumped to your...
Oh, these are my burgers. I'm not a chef, but hey, you know, you let me know. You tell me, though. Okay, so this is a fresh...
Piece of meat, top round.
This is called a top round of beef. Okay, top A American steak.
Dude, well, American beef. It weighs like 20 pounds.
Damn.
So basically what I have to do is like cut it down into steaks.
Okay.
As you can see here.
Fillets. Right.
You want it like thin steaks so they cook faster on the grill and then they're easier to cut. Because I'll show you the end product.
Okay. And also they're easier to not overcook them, right? Because you just go clack, clack, one side, one the other, boom, boom.
Right. And then sometimes... you want it a little bit medium well. Yeah,
that's how I like it. No, it's not funny. It's real.
It is kind of funny.
See how everything's clean and tidy. This is really what a chef... Damn. This is being seasoned. So is that salt and pepper?
It is just salt and pepper. I just lay them down, salt and pepper. So the bigger the steaks or the longer the steaks, the easier it is to put in the grill.
Because
at the end... It's this.
Damn, bro. Those steaks look fuego as hell. And that little fucking grill you got over there on the left side. This is like Taco Bell VIP. Like, this is like Taco Bell for rich people, right? A little Mexican restaurant.
And then that basically then turns into this. That I have to hand cut into small strips.
And those strips are for what? For little tacos, burritos? What's that for?
So I'll show you. Then I'll have to dice it, basically.
Oh shit.
So I do strips and then I do the squares. The dice.
Small ass. Damn, I love this. Like for a Crunchwrap Supreme, this would be amazing. And what is this? Like a little garlic based sauce?
No, it has like no garlic. No, the what I showed you before had nothing to do with this sauce.
Okay.
But this has like spice on it. Habaneros. Okay. Habaneros.
Habanero.
And it has like a couple of like Mexican spices. So
the sauce.
The sauce. And then it just goes mixed into the meat. And then the meat goes into the taquitos.
Hmm.
That I think I've shown
so
you.
So is it like a creamy paste of meat?
Yes, it's different. It's like sesame. It has sesame on it.
Oh, shit.
It tastes good. Trust me.
I trust you.
You trust me? Do you trust me?
God damn it, I trust you.
There's another thing I did that day.
Is that chicken?
It is chicken.
And I see some onions that you used to boil them with?
We boil them with, yeah. Yeah.
And then what, you grind it so that it becomes like a...
Shredded, basically.
Like a shredded chicken, okay. And the shredded chicken, what is this going on? Like, what do you use it for?
It goes into enchiladas and other stuff.
Oh, fuck.
But imagine doing that amount of chicken by hand. Shredding that shit. Imagine that amount of chicken. It's not going to take 10 minutes.
I shredded chicken recently to make shredded chicken, and it took me a long time.
How much? How much chicken did you shred?
No, like two chicken breasts.
There you go. 5 minutes.
Oh, it took me longer, but I'm slow. But here you didn't do it by hand. You didn't do it by hand. You use a machine.
Right. I mean, imagine doing the fucking by hand. So I do it in the machine faster. I don't know if it's better because...
Well, to be honest, there is something about the hand shredded chicken where you have little stringiness.
Sorry, I'm not doing that. I'm on it.
No, but I'm talking about like if you do it at home.
Ah, if you do it at home. If you do it at home for
your family, you might want to put that extra touch, Chef Maurice, okay?
Sorry.
Show us how this looks. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't mind it. How does this look when it's shredded?
Shit, I don't have a picture of that.
Okay.
Just imagine fucking shredded chicken, dude.
Damn. Damn, lobsters. Are these lobsters? Are they alive?
Semi-raw. No, they're not alive.
Okay. But did you delete them yourself?
Yeah. I mean, it's not that hard, right?
How do you do it? Like you put them alive in the boiling water, or you do them the honors like a soldier in the Roman times?
Straight into the water.
Okay.
Straight into the water and then a lid on.
Okay, a lid on so they don't scream or you don't hear
so
them.
So they don't scream or escape. Try to escape.
And is this good? Have you tried some of it?
I've tried it.
The recipe you do?
Yeah, it's shrimp and lobster empanada. They call it differently, but it's basically an empanada.
It's an empanada. Damn, I never thought about like an empanada.
Cheese.
Potato. I never liked potatoes on an empanada. It's not my thing.
It's like a Mexican style.
The Andes in our country, Venezuela, where my mother is from and your wife is from, actually, they put potatoes in empanadas, and it's just not my thing. Not my thing.
Mm.
What is this,
Cubans
pork?
Do that, too. It is pork.
Okay, I love pork. Spain has the best pork.
Simply the best.
I talked to the best ones, the best porks. All right, and what were you doing here with the pork? Oh, this is the handmade tortilla.
Tortillas.
Okay, so this
is the pork. We do skewers with the pork.
Oh, nice. Is this the pork that you would fry? No, right?
No, it's too wet to be fried.
Too wet, okay.
Right, like at this point, it's too wet to be fried.
But could you make it so that you can fry it?
Yeah, I guess. It'll be like very hard on the outside because it dries out.
Okay, so this is not the perfect one for it. You need a more fatty one for the frying.
I guess, and you got to let it dry out for a bit.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that was one day of work. Oh, this. This is some of my mess up setup.
Okay, so this is how it looks when you've set it all up for the rest of the day. I mean, this looks pretty gangster. This looks like, somebody I would want to...
here.
Mm-hmm. Explain to us, elaborate.
I'm just doing several recipes in this picture. Like the tomatoes and the onion and the garlic on your right, mm-hmm. habaneros, and that's one recipe. And then I have like tomatillos in the bottom left, some cucumbers for another recipe. I have the recipe book right in front of me. I don't know if you see it.
Oh, the one right with, okay. Oh, like little binder and shit.
It's a binder, yeah. It's a food Bible.
I see your little thermo, your little water bottle
with the stickers. One and only.
That's pretty gay.
The one and only. And then you see, like, I have my scale for when I do my recipe. And then right here, my knife.
Is that where you weigh your gummy bears?
You know I do. I have, like, my knives. I have my spoons.
I see your pen, Franklin, your little vape.
No, I don't take that to work. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't do that at work. Sorry.
I got to say, the kitchen, I mean, for me, I've worked in kitchens in the past. This looks like a very clean kitchen, very nice looking, like the type of kitchen you would want to see when you go eat at a place.
Also, this is when I get in at 8 in the morning, so it's clean.
Mm.
We also have like night cleaners. A lot of restaurants do that.
Oh, night, like
people who just go in and clean.
Clean. Okay, that's nice. Makes it so that because I remember the kitchens I worked at, we had to clean the fucking place.
Yeah.
Ourselves after cooking and shit. Okay.
But you see, it's I have a big space. But I spread out and then I do a lot of shit.
So this whole aisle is yours.
Basically, yeah.
Would you call this your kingdom? When you go in the morning in there, this is my kingdom.
I've been told to have the cooks come out and like work there with me. And I've talked to them about it. I'm like, do you guys want to come out and you guys don't have to stay here? Because as you see, there's people here and then there's another one in this place. You can't see it, of course, behind a wall. But so they have their own space, their own table. They have the ingredients close to them. So,
do you feel they're intimidated by your presence?
Why?
I don't know, because you give this vibe of like the alpha dog.
Well, I have to be. That's my position where I have to be the boss. Tough one.
The big boss. Okay. Do they sometimes call you Ricky Rouse the big boss?
But I have my shit, my trash can where I can throw my shit. But the bad part, and I think what they don't want to do is if I need any equipment, like a blender or a hand blender or anything, I have to bring it from the back if it's heavy and then bring it over to the front. Plug it in. It's too much work, I think.
For them?
I think they would rather have it in front of them.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think this is great. I mean, for people that work in the kitchen or want to do it, talk to us or give us your opinion. Is Chef Maurice really, is he deserving of all the acolytes and patents that he has? And now we're going to also look into what I do. I mean, I'm not a chef officially, right? But I do like to dabble in the dark arts. And I've been sending Chef Maurice little pictures of when I do my bolognese sauce. And this weekend I did burgers. And I want to show, what a classic day in a life like mine. I mean, it's not as pretty, but here you can see, these are the burgers that you get from the supermarket. I didn't prep them myself.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm like, they're perfectly shaped. Whatever you did, it's perfect.
Yeah, I just went to the supermarket. But I did season them. I put a little salt and pepper because I like them to have a little, a little zesty to them. In the
you like the
back
white
burner,
people. The white people.
Come on, but I mean, for somebody that isn't a chef, I think I did a pretty good job. In the bag, you see the burnings of the bacon that I already cooked, which we should see soon. But here I was making burgers for a couple of friends that came over.
I have one thing to say. Do you take critique well?
No, but let's do it.
Can I give you a critique?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I love you. You know I love you.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, I mean well.
Damn, but you're...
I don't mean any harm.
You're putting so much of a disclaimer that I'm nervous, okay?
So you have a beautiful stainless steel pan with some bacon grease on it.
Mm-hmm.
That is just sitting there, right? But then you have the bigger pan on the left that has six burgers in it.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens with that is that once you put that amount of burger in it, it's going to cool down the pan. Mm. That is not going to give it a crisp throughout the burger.
Okay.
So what I would have done is would have grabbed like three on the bigger one and then three on the bacon one, just because those burgers can have the taste of the grease.
Okay.
Of, you know, so a little bit of the bacon.
Okay, so it's actually bacon a plus if I use the grease of the bacon.
Of course. You're already putting oil on the pan, right? On this pan.
Right.
Right? I see some oil here, olive oil. Probably this one right here.
Picoil. Yeah, that one right there. Very good one.
So you're already putting that oil. So you're wasting, think about it this way. You're wasting a little bit of oil in here when you had bacon grease that you already had bacon on. Beautiful bacon that looked crispy as fuck and delicious.
Look at that bacon. I like it to be crispy.
God damn, looks good.
Okay, so, I mean, that's not huge criticism, so I appreciate it. I mean, that's actually very constructive to me. I always thought of this. So sometimes you might be tempted, especially if you don't have all the utensils, to put a lot of the produce in the pan. Like the next day I had leftover burgers. So this picture is from the next day. Here, would you say it's a little bit more reasonable? I only have four patties on the big one. So I'm not overcrowding the pan. So when you put more things in the pan, you're lowering the temperature and it's not cooking as well as you would have wanted to. Maybe a solution is to put the pan higher, but you think it's better to just use an extra pan.
You could use an extra pan. Okay. I mean, it also depends how you like your burger cooked, right? And then I would have done the bacon first. Just like I said before, I'm going to have a bunch of grease left over. I don't have to use olive oil on it. Okay. I'll use a little bit on the pan and I'll probably cook the other, you know, I would have done two and two. And I have like that mix and match of the bacon grease. Because at the end of the day, what are you going to do? You probably throw it away. What do you do with the bacon grease afterwards? You throw it out?
I leave it there. And then in the next morning, it's like this white paste. And you realize that is what I'm putting in my body. It's crazy, the grease. Like this morning, I had to clean that pan, and it was this white paste that it was crazy what grease is.
Cold fat.
Yeah, it was cold fat.
Cold fat.
Did I send more pictures of how these burgers ended up? Because I was actually proud of the ones I did the next day. They were even better.
The next day?
Yeah, which is this picture, actually. No, this is not. This is from the night. I mean, my girlfriend helped me prep them, right? So we put the nice lettuce, the tomato, arugula, onions. I love the onions. And then like these crispy fried onions. They were beautiful.
I think this is the second day.
Okay, this is from the second day. I mean, talk about consistency. They look exactly the same, which is what you would want in a Michelin restaurant.
Well, I think the rucola, it's on top, and then on this one, the onions on top.
So I would get maybe like a point taken off, right?
By the Michelin attention people. To details, bro. God attention to details.
Now, I got to say, now that I look at them, I'm getting hungry myself. These burgers were fire.
Is this going to be your dinner tonight, the third night in a row?
No, I don't have any left. Today, I just go to
the supermarket and get
I did mashed potatoes and pork loins. I'm trying to eat healthy this week because I've been fucking up for a minute. I lost some weight and now I'm gaining it.
And family's coming over.
And family's coming in 5 days and it's going to get very grimy.
Is that your Christmas gift?
What?
Having your family over?
I mean, now that I think about it, that's probably the best gift that you can get.
Wow. I hope they watch this.
Nah, nobody watches this. I hope they don't. But
I think it's because I look too white.
As you start getting older, you start realizing that, and it sounds super like cliche. Yeah, we need to fix your lighting. We need to find out what's wrong with the lighting. I don't know. Or maybe it's you. Something's wrong with you. it sounds cliche and corny, but the best gift is being with the people you love. And I haven't seen my sister in a minute. She's coming with her boyfriend, which is, you know, pretty cool guy.
Is the last time you saw your sister the time that I was there?
No, because I saw them a year later in Miami.
When you came over.
Which was almost a year ago. Actually, a year ago, exactly. In Christmas last year, I was in Miami. And I saw my family, but living in Spain, I have some family here now that has moved cousins. I have my girlfriend, my other sister lives here with me. So we're not completely alone, but my parents don't live here. My other sister doesn't live here. So now that we're going to see them, we're going to travel to Asturias. We rented a vehicle. I actually started driving again yesterday. I haven't driven in many years. So I rented a little.
How did that go?
It went well. It was fucking scary. I rented a little electric car. And I practiced. I went and picked up my girlfriend because she was at my sister's house helping her with some things. And I took it in the evening. And I just went and picked her up, got on the highway. It was scary.
So most of the cars in Spain have stick shift. Does electric car have stick shift?
No, it doesn't.
So if you rent a car, make sure it's not.
Yeah, we made sure it was an automatic.
But the thing is that in Europe, it's very rare that you see any automatic cars.
Yeah. A lot of people here drive stick shift. This is a little secret. Nobody needs to know about this, but I don't know how to drive stick shift. So
I have a funny story about that.
Okay, please tell us. So no, we rented an automatic. These electric cars, they're all automatic, and they're actually very easy to drive. It was already nerve-wracking because I'm driving in a new country, which, by the way, it all went well. Like, everything's very organized here in Spain. But the cars, they're so technological. I did a little parallel parking, but I had a lot of space to do it. Okay. So, but I did use the techniques from the past. But then I looked at the thing. It had a little camera and everything. I was like, bro, they're so technologically advanced that was what was confusing me. I'm like, where's the stick to put it in drive? No, it's all done with buttons. I couldn't turn off the music. It was weird.
Damn, I didn't even think about this. When was the last time you drove? Like 10 years ago?
I mean, nobody needs to know this, but yeah.
But that's funny because the last time you drove a car, things have fucking changed so much.
Bro, but it changed so much to the point where I'm like,
yo, screens now, dude.
Yeah, bro, it's crazy. Bro, the car was telling me, oh, you're going over the limit. Slow down. I'm like, bro, everything, it was, I swear to God, it was like a video game. It was crazy.
You want to know something? My car, my current car, has a setting where I can set it as to how far I want my car to brake in front of the other. So I just set it by squares. It doesn't give you a mileage or something. It just gives you like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 squares, and I do 3. So when I'm in the highway, I can put the cruise control, and then the car is just going to accelerate by itself. And then if the car in front of me brakes, my car will start to brake by itself.
That's crazy.
I didn't buy this. This is not like, this just came with a car.
It comes standard.
And then there's another setting on your car where you can put that you cannot, it won't let you switch lanes without you doing the hard labor of moving the wheel. So you can add the speed one, the cruise control. You can have the distance one with a car, and then this one that will keep you in the lane. You basically, all you have to do is put your hand on the steering wheel, and that's it, because it drives by itself and it stops by itself. I've tried it in the highway and I've tried it in the streets. So when it's a light, the car in front of me, it's going to brake. So my car automatically gets that and it starts braking to the distance I asked them to. And it'll brake and, you know, it won't accelerate by itself. I would have to accelerate.
Yeah, it's like it makes it a lot easier. I was nervous, but then I was like, oh, this is actually a lot easier than in the past. I mean, even like when I was trying to switch lanes, it would tell me like, beep, 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 you're getting close to the line, this whole thing. And I couldn't turn off the music. The GPS, I was asking a friend, look, I'm going to grab these cars. I know you got them in the past. Do they have GPS? And he's like, yo, Kiko, since 2018, every car has GPS integrated. So I connected it to my phone. I downloaded Waze. And I was actually proud of myself because people say that in Madrid, they get lost with the GPS because there's a lot of exits and tunnels. And I was able to do it all perfectly fine. I did Google drive Maps. In Miami. Apparently, Waze is better than Google Maps, I hear.
I think Google bought Waze recently.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I think so.
Last year, I drove in Miami, and it sort of came back to me, but my sister's SUV, you know, everything's huge in the U.S., it was very technological with computers and everything. So I'm getting used to like the things. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like a bicycle. I drove for a long time when I was much younger. So, you know, all the techniques and abilities are there. But I was just a little bit nervous of driving in a new country with new signals and things like that. But no, it all worked out well. And apparently tomorrow, I say apparently, like if I'm not the one making the decision, but I have a cousin here, and I told him about it. He drives these cars too. So he's like, oh, tomorrow in the morning you can pick me up and we can practice a bit. So I think I'm going to do that. Because I'm gonna be the driver for when we go like in a week and a half to Asturias in the north of Spain.
That's why you're practicing.
Yeah, so I'm practicing because I want to sort of do a good job. You know, I don't want people to be like, yo, this bitch has dude.
Well, that's why I was saying that. When you go to Asturias, you're going to have to rent a car, right? A van.
No,
or
we
something?
Are renting a car, but we're renting it in Madrid and driving all the
way. Right. There. What I'm saying is like, is it automatic or
stick shift? Yeah. We made sure it's automatic. Yeah.
Well, in Spain, automatic cars are more expensive.
Yeah.
In here, stick shift are less expensive.
Yeah, but barely anybody buys a stick shift in the U.S. You know, I learned to drive in the U.S. And when I got a car, my first car, like it was, you had to like do extra work to get a stick shift because it was so, people were so used to automatics, even in the early 2000s.
You want to hear a funny story? My sister-in-law had to leave the U.S. So she left her car here. Her car is a stick shift. So my baby mama... My baby mama, she knows how to drive stick shift. Like, she has driven stick shift all her life until we lived together and we had a car together that was automatic because I don't know how to drive stick shift. Like, my dad taught me how to drive it, but since I never had a car, I could never practice. So
our masculinity level has gone down for the viewers, like this pussy ass.
But we come back. So she left her car here. Yesterday, my wife had stuff to do with our son. So she needed the car. Because our other option is an electric car that doesn't have the mileage to do what she needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the option was old electric card, old a stick shift card that doesn't have any AC in Miami. And she had to do this long ass run or take our SUV or our car,
right,
which is, you know, our car.
The main one.
Right. With AC, not stick shift, not electric.
Right.
So I'm like, you know what? I'll leave you the car, our car, the one that I take to work, and I'll take the stick shift.
To work. This was yesterday, bro.
So I drove from my house to where the restaurant is, which is like far from where I live. Stick shift. And I fucking made it there and back on the fucking highway, dude.
Damn. So
on
like,
my way home, I'm like, you know what? Fuck this shit. And I got on the highway.
Okay. So the way there, you didn't go on the highway.
Correct. Because on the way there, it's early in the morning. So there, and a Sunday, and there's no traffic. So I'm like, if the car turns off, I have enough time to turn it on. Like the basics of it already, you know, came back to me. And I did the same as you. I also practiced last week when my wife told me the idea. I'm like, all right, let me practice. So we practice around the neighborhood with the car at night. And I'm like, all right, I'm cool. I can make it to work. And then when I got to work and I've been thinking, you know, the whole day about it, I'm like, I'm just going to take the fucking highway because it's not that hard. You know, it's not that much more that I have to do rather than the streets. You know, put one more gear.
No, isn't it funny how we were going through some of, like, similar situations without even knowing? That's how we're connected.
So I made it back. I'm not going to lie to you. The car did turn off twice.
Okay.
And it was like at the bad spot, like the worst spot to turn the car off.
That's like what, with a lot of cars around you.
So there's this light, street light that is from a busy street that goes into the highway. And then I'm just waiting there and the light starts to turn yellow and the car in front of me stops. So I stopped. And then the car in front of me goes. And then by the time I try to go, stick shift, I forgot the car turned off. So I couldn't take that light. And then I left a space in between where I was at and the car in front of me. So somebody cut into it. And I was looked at as a dumbass and somebody started beeping in the back.
Damn.
I'm like, okay, I'm a dumbass. So I turned the car back on. I already had it on, ready to go. Light turns green, car in front of me goes, car turns off.
Fuck.
Everybody starts peeping that shit.
And in Miami, which is like extra.
And I was like, the car doesn't have AC, so I was stressed out. Sweating. And I started sweating. Dude, and I turned the car on, and I put it on first, and the car went like,
boom, like a fucking idiot.
And I was like, I don't give a shit. I could have done it. And I got into the highway, and I put my fifth gear, and I just went, and there was a couple of times that I got scared because the highways here, I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
For some reason, they go up and down.
Mm.
And there was some traffic and I had to stop and on and up.
And a little so be hill.
On a hill. And it would be like, I'm not used to it, so it would be hard. So I was like freaking out. But I let the car run until the car in front of me started going. So I missed that. I didn't have to stop. But there was some traffic, so I had to, like, stop, put first gear. All right, this shit not turn off. It didn't turn off. And then...
Do you feel like you're like, managing it better and better?
I got home. I told my wife, like, our next car is going to be stick shift.
Damn!
She's like, ah, damn, bro.
She's like, that's my man, goddamn
it. So our manly points just went up.
Right? Is it good? No. My girlfriend, when I picked her up on the car and she's seeing me drive for the first time in Spain, she's like, damn, boy. She started filming me.
She's like rubbing your chest. Like, hey,
I got a little Bobby. BJ while driving. Do you think?
It's like, I want to feel this thing I used to feel in high school when I got a BJ while driving. That's what I want to feel.
Do you feel like it's good or bad that we're having these little wins for such basic things and we're almost 40? Or is it good?
I think it's good. I think it gave me like an adrenaline shot yesterday.
Bro, I was fucking, like, when I got home, I had to have a few beers because I was like, fuck, I felt like I just murdered somebody and we just hit the body. I was like, all right, no, we got it. We're good.
Bro, it was amazing. Yesterday, I was like so hyped. And then I left work early. So I sat in the car for like 10 minutes. And I'm like, you know, I have a gummy laying around. Maybe it would be a great idea to take a gummy before going into the highway.
Damn. No, not a good idea.
On stick shift, on my first day.
Jesus. That's like a fucking episode of some show.
So I was very like, cool. You know, I calmed down. I think I was texting you.
While driving? Okay.
No. Before I left. Like, okay. Those 10 minutes or 20 minutes I sat there before I left.
Damn. I mean, to be honest, like, that's quite a feat. Especially in Miami, especially in Hialeah, with so much, like, vehicles and how people drive there a little crazy. Like, look, I did this last night because I was like, I downloaded an app, right, that has the little vehicles that you can pick up. I put in my information, my license, everything. And I'm like, all right, let's see if I can do it Sunday, because Sunday is normally when there's less cars in the street, so I can practice. And the whole day, the app said, oh, we're still verifying your documentation, your documents. So I'm like, so I told my girl, look, I was going to pick you up, but I don't think I'm going to be able to because it's still no. And part of me was like, yeah, I don't want to do it, right? Because I'm delaying it, right? And then closer to the evening, I get a notification and it's like, oh, your document's been approved. So now I feel the pressure like, oh, I got to do it. Otherwise, I'm a bitch.
Or you could have just delayed it a day.
No, but then if I delay it, then the week starts and then in the week it's harder to do it. And then my sister arrives in a few days and I got to be ready because otherwise she's going to be like, oh, he's a bitch. So I texted my girl. I'm like, fuck it. I got the documentations approved. I'm going to pick you up. And bro, I got ready. I put everything on. I started walking because I need to go to where the car is. I walked farther than I should because I wanted to get a car that had more battery. I didn't want to have any issues. Bro, when I got on the car and things started happening, I was so scared. The car would beep for everything. I'm like, what's happening? And it's like, oh no, you're over the... Like, it knows what's the speed limit at certain spots. Here in Spain, it's quite, you know... And then I was passing through certain places where I had to lower my speed limit because there's construction. And then people are beeping at me because everyone's just going quick, fast. They don't give a fuck. So, and I'm trying to follow everything, you know, like the laws.
You're like, bitch,
shit.
Is my first day.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Beep at me. I'm going to fucking go.
Do you have a driver's license?
Oh, no, of course. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't.
Right, but now I'm thinking, why would you have a driver's license if you don't drive?
Because in Spain, you're able to exchange your driver's license from another country. So when I arrived here more than 10 years ago, I took out my license, right? Because I was just getting up to date with all my documents. But I never needed a vehicle. And also, I was too broke to have a vehicle. And now you have these options of renting little cars. We needed to rent a car to travel. So I was like, let me get up to date with this. So I'm slowly doing the thing. And confronting fears again that I thought I'd... Like, I think about it and I'm being vulnerable now. But part of me is like, yo, what the fuck? Like, you've been driving since you're 16. Like, but I guess, you know, you get older and you also get a lot more fearful about things, you know? So I don't know.
I think it was an adrenaline shot for me yesterday.
It was super adrenaline shot for me. Like, I was, like, pounding.
Yeah. You had beer, a cigarette, and fucking slapped the shit out of your wife.
Yeah. God, we had a little house, you know, domestic abuse. No, but yeah, like I stayed up to like 3 a.m. drinking beers, just celebrating.
I drove, yes.
At one point, now I needed to go in a roundabout and a bus just kept going straight and I needed to turn left and the bus kept going. I mean, I want to say the bus almost ran me over, but it wasn't that close, but that was the only close call I had.
Mm.
I didn't miss any exits. I did everything perfect. So
you stopped at all your stop signs and
everything.
Red lights, you stopped.
Yeah. There was a red light that came out of nowhere. Yeah, I took the highway.
Oh, you took the highway. Okay.
And the highway is like straight up tunnels and shit. Like it was pretty crazy.
Did you have music on or completely silence? Because
no, there was music because the vehicle has like, you know, like the classic pops of the, you know, like pop music. And I wanted to turn it off because I wanted to concentrate and I couldn't figure the fucking thing out, bro. Everything's so technological. I'm like, look, I have the GPS in the screen. I don't want to touch anything that would fuck that up. But you know what?
Well, now
you know what? Something
weird.
You're
saying that in the screen, you can have the Google Maps and then you don't have to look at your phone.
No, that's what I had. I had the Waze on my screen. I connected it to the car.
On the screen, on the car.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
One thing that I noticed is that every time that we take an Uber here, because I'm always weary of things, I'm always looking at where they're going. And I'm looking at their GPS, how they're following it. Because sometimes you get an Uber driver where you're like, this guy doesn't seem to know what the fuck he's doing. Right? It happens. At least here. Well,
okay. Okay, okay. Go ahead. So, keep on with your story because I have questions.
So one thing I noticed yesterday is that I was very good at following the GPS. Some people say like, oh, it said one exit and I thought it was the other one and I fucked up. And I did it so well and perfectly. And I think, unbeknownst to me, this whole time that I've been taking Ubers, I'm always weary of and aware of how they're following the GPS. Because I've been at times where I'm like, okay, we need to get out of this exit. He's not getting out. And then he doesn't get out. And then the GPS reroutes him. So I think that without me knowing for a long time, I had been practicing following the GPS without knowing it. That's what I wanted to say.
But which GPS do you track? Like, do you have, for example, Waze going on your phone and then whatever he has on his phone?
Yeah, I have the Google Maps on my phone because I didn't use Waze before until now. And then I would see the one that the driver is using, which is usually Waze. And
then just Google Maps sent you another route?
No, it's the same route. It's just that sometimes these Uber drivers, you see them a little lost. Here in Madrid, sometimes you can tell that the Uber driver... Here in Spain, it's not like in the US where each Uber driver owns their car. Here, the way that it works is that most of the cars are owned by a big fleet, a company that has 100 cars, and they just pay drivers a shift to drive. And sometimes I feel like they hire people that are like fresh off the boat, so to speak, you know? Like they just got to Madrid, so they don't fucking know the city. And I see them just being like nervous and not really know what the fuck they're doing. So I'm always looking at like, well, I think this is the exit, this, that, this.
So also maybe they're not from Spain, so they're just new to the city. So they're also being guided by, you know, Waze or whatever they use.
Ideally, taxi drivers and Uber drivers should know the fucking city. That's what I'm saying. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is that without me knowing, I've been practicing following the GPS for a longer time than I thought.
You have experience.
And also, I've been driving for a minute. It's just that I'm very self-doubting of myself. But I noticed last night that I'm good. I know what the fuck I'm doing.
And then on the way back with your lady in the car, you still went on the highway.
Yeah, I had to because it's far. So okay. I went on the highway and I did it well.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I'm proud of myself. You did a great job. If you're proud of us, please leave it on the comments. If you have any experience with doing things now as you're older that you would think, oh, this is like a dumb thing, but it's still a challenge for me and I'm proud of myself, please tell us. Maybe you started a new class. Maybe you started going to a new course. Maybe you're going to couples therapy because you're close to being, you know, divorcing your wife.
Do you think we should go to couples therapy?
No, I think that's what you mean, for you and me as a couple?
Right. Okay, that's like a friend couple.
Yeah, that maybe. But like, if you need to go to couples therapy for your wife and you, that's gay. that's harsh. No, I'm just kidding, guys. I'm kidding. Sometimes that helps. I'm sorry.
I've never been to couples therapy. That's a therapy.
But you've been to therapy. We talked about it.
I haven't. Yeah.
And it's helped you.
I'm still here.
Right. Damn. That's dark. That's fucking weird.
I'm here.
All right. Well, Chef Maurice, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your little, you know, vulnerable story.
The stick shift story?
Yeah.
I'm going to take it. I'm going to be proud of that one for a while.
Yeah, me too. I
may do it more often too.
I need to do it more often. Like, I'm already scared that tomorrow I might have to drive again because I want to practice. But I'm not as scared as I was before yesterday. It's like that first time, the scariness lowers like 50%. And now you feel like a lot more confident.
But we cannot get cocky.
No, never get cocky.
If we get cocky, we're fucked.
Yeah, no. You need to always, actually, being scared is not bad. Always being aware is good. So never get too comfortable. Never get too comfy. When we were kids, we didn't know about fear. We were very comfy. Too cocky, I'd say. I mean, my line of crash cars will tell you how cocky I was. Damn, that's fucked. That's not good for my resume. Sorry. Anyways, guys.
Perfect.
Have a lovely Christmas. Have a lovely New Year's. We might have another episode this Christmas, but we are going to be busy, especially me. I have family coming over. We might have some time to get another one in before the year ends. If we don't, I hope you have a great gift and that you enjoy the best gift of all, which is being alive and being with your family and somewhat healthy. I mean, you don't have to be perfect, right? But somewhat healthy.
I promise you I'm not a cook. You know, I don't have a cook eye.
No, I know. You're just on the Chinese mode right now.
I don't know why. Is it? Do I have to go to the doctor?
No, I know why. I know.
But for a while, I've been seeing it like half. I don't have a cock eye, right?
Damn. Look at me, straight. A cock eye is one that's closest more than the other.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, both of them are closed now, very closed, right? But that's for other reasons. I don't know. I don't really think so. I think if you want to get millimetric, you could say that one is a little bit lower, but like, like a millimeter, but you have to really look at it.
No, close. It is close.
It is close. What, you think you're fucked? I mean, not to make you feel a little better, I think that will happen to all of us.
I think it's the medicine I had to take for allergies.
It's the aging. I mean, I think it's sexy to have a cock eye.
Fuck, we were mean yeah, in high school.
And now God is coming back. Karma. It's like, oh, you think it's funny, motherfucker?
Maybe his eye open up.
You know what? This experience is eye-opening. Peace out, people.